Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Chris Gaona. I'm one of the elders here at Norwood Bible Church. I oversee the worship ministries. That is way more my comfort zone than this right here. But God has a way of putting you in places where you're not comfortable so that you depend upon Him. And so this morning, I see that Pastor Mark is here, but he has been on vacation. And so Mike filled in for him last week, and I am filling in for him this week. Just a couple of things maybe to share with you this morning. Speaking is, handling God's word is a serious thing, and it's intimidating and overwhelming and frustrating and good all in the same bit. I battled this week of even wanting to speak, but there's really no way out of it, so that's a losing battle. But it's just, I share that with you because that's just kind of the struggles of my heart. It's hard to stand before you, kind of coming out of James's Sunday school. Nobody likes to bear their weaknesses before other people, and to stand before you, weaknesses will be bared. And I thank you that you are a gracious people, and I just, my prayer is that God would speak through His word this morning. So thanks for bearing with me. May He do His work here in this place. And God, I just do pray for your spirit to come. Even as we sang this morning, the reality that you would call us deeper into faith, into trust, into waters that we don't know and we don't understand. God, as you put us in places where we are not comfortable and we are not able to control ourselves, God, I pray that you would bring us to a place of resting in Jesus Christ, that you would bring us to a place of trusting in your mercies and your steadfast love. God, I really call upon the reality that you love your church, you love your truth, and you will protect both. You have sent your own Son to shed His blood for your church. And God, I just come before you and pray for clarity of thought and for accuracy of handling your word. Lord, I pray that the things that you want to use and work, you will use and work. And the things that are inaccurate, God, that they would fall away. Just in need of your grace this morning and anticipating the way that you will meet that to the glory of your name. Amen. So this morning I want to begin our time reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. This is Jesus speaking as part of his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's always been a challenging piece of scripture for me to understand how that all flows together in context. But here we go. So that piece, obviously very familiar passages of scripture. So I guess I come to you this morning challenging you to be open to the Spirit of God's leading. If you're like me, I think a lot of times I read past scripture and subtly the justifications come in. That doesn't really apply to me. I don't really struggle with that, and I move on. And so my prayer for us today is that God, we would allow the Spirit of God to work and move and to speak. I think there's a very much a reality that we have a theology that we speak and understand, and there's a theology that we actually live out. And I guess my challenge to you today is to see where those two are in disagreement in your life. What you say you believe is true and how you actually live your life. So as we move in, Jesus is calling us to think about what is it that you spend your time, your money, your passions, your energy doing. And he calls us to not lay up for ourselves treasures here on earth, because these things are going to pass away. 1 John talks about not loving the things of the world, because they will pass away. The reality is God calls us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And the reality is when we assess what is it that we love, what is it that we dedicate our time to, that is where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. And I think the Lord is calling us to think about, you say that Jesus is your love, but what is it that your life bears out in testimony? And he goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. And it's this sense of the eye of the heart. What is it that you believe in? What is it that you're walking in? It's not your physical eye. He's not saying if you have bad eyes, you're doomed. He's saying we're looking at the heart here. What is it that you're focused on? If you're focused on God's truth and walking in the truth, that lights your whole body in walking in the way of truth. But if your eye is fixed and focused on the things of this world, if your eye is focused on the things of doing evil, then that darkness in you is dark. And this reality that he goes on and says, no one can serve two masters. This idea that we can't keep one eye on the world and one eye on Jesus, or try to walk in this way that we say, these are the things that I understand and this is what I'm putting my effort and my energy into. And because I'm a Christian, I'm pasting all this religious stuff onto you to make myself feel better. God is laying out the reality that you cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So I want to maybe help us to broaden the way we think about this and allow for maybe more application to our hearts. I want to read to you a quote from a John Piper sermon that he gave many, many years ago, talking about battling unbelief. And he ties, he helps us to have a broader perspective of what this money is. Because it's easy to say, well, I'm not really that greedy, or I'm not really that rich, I'm not really depending on money. And I think John Piper helps us to kind of break out that context or that grid of what is it that Jesus is talking about here. John Piper says, when Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evils, what did he mean? He didn't mean that there's a connection between every sinful attitude and money, that money is always in your mind when you sin. I think he meant that all the evils in the world come from a certain kind of heart, namely the kind of heart that loves money. Now, what does it mean to love money? It doesn't mean to admire the green paper or the brown coins. To know what it means to love money, you have to ask, what is money? I would answer that question like this. Money is simply a symbol that stands for human resources. Money stands for what you can get from man, not from God. money is the currency of human resources. So the heart that loves money is a heart that pins its hopes and pursues its pleasures and puts its trust in what human resources can offer. End quote. He goes on further to tie this back into Matthew 6, where he says, the reality is that if you put your hopes in human resources, you're walking in unbelief in God's promises. Those two don't go hand in hand. You can't put your hope in money and human resources and what you can get from man and hold on to the promises of God. They don't work. You cannot serve God and money. This morning I want to share briefly with you just a testimony of God's work in my own heart and life to kind of, as I shared with you this morning, these passages are very familiar, and I would have told you that absolutely agree, you cannot serve God in money as a mental assent. But the reality of when God comes into your life and he strips things away, he has a tendency to show what is really there in your heart and what you're really trusting in. So I share this with you this morning to maybe be a challenge, to maybe be an encouragement to you, to allow the Spirit of God to maybe press into your own hearts and lives and assess where your faith and your hope and your trust lie. Last May 2015, I faced the decision being in the Air Force of having to move, and we prayed about that. We sought God in that, and we felt like God was calling us to not leave and to pursue what the other options were. So for me, that other option was being able to retire from the Air Force after 20 years this June. So in that process, the military is very good about helping you transition into civilian life. There are a lot of issues that come along with that. And so I am a musician by trade. That's what I did for the Air Force. I played music. And as I looked at what my options were, music was not one of them, because in my own assessments, it didn't make sense financially. It didn't make sense for my family. It didn't make sense from a ministry perspective. And so I just thought, you know, God is calling me to a career change, a different stage of life, a different season of life. And I began pursuing those things, trying to understand, what are my skills? How am I marketable in the commercial world? And began that process. Also along with that, Krista and I began seeking, you know, we felt like God was kind of leading us to take some time and spend some time as a family. And so we felt like God was leading us to take 6 weeks and spend time traveling as a family. That in itself was a bit of a step of faith, because I had no job prospects. But it was something that we felt like God was confirming in our hearts to do. So in the process of trying to find a job, we go on this 6-week trip. And even in that, God's faithfulness is evident, because he provided to what I thought at the time were very strong possibilities for employment. And just having in the back of my mind, knowing that God was processing and pressing forward something for me, I didn't know what it was going to be, allowed me the ability to just rest in his grace and his faithfulness and enjoy my family for 6 weeks. Now, towards the end of that season, those strong possibilities became not so strong. And God began to start to open my eyes to other possibilities at that point. Unsolicited, I had some folks contact me about some music opportunities. And God began to call my heart to say, maybe this is who I have made you to be, a musician. This is the gifting that I've given you, and do not discount it so quickly. And that began a process of, well, maybe I need to reconsider. As I walked down that path, ultimately both of those strong possibilities were no longer possibilities, and confirming in that I felt like God was leading me to continue to pursue a career in music. But that at that point began the wrestling of my heart, because in my own mind it didn't make sense. It wasn't practical. I didn't understand how that was going to provide for my family. I didn't understand how that was going to allow me to continue to develop and be a part of my kids' lives and to be a part of, involved in ministry. Typically, music happens at night and on the weekends, and that's when ministry and family happens. So I still don't know how that's going to work, but I feel very strongly that God has called me to that. And in that process, confronted the reality of what I said to be true, that you cannot serve God in money, and how I lived my life, and the reality that my security came from knowing what was coming next, knowing that I had a job, knowing that I could provide for my family, and knowing the plan. And God has called me something to completely opposite. The life in music looks to be something that's completely unpredictable, completely unplanned on, and something that I'm going to have to absolutely depend on God. So I tell you this story, church, because I want you to think about your own lives, because it's easy to say, yes, I believe these truths, but when you actually are living your life, what is it that you're holding on to? And God, in stripping all that away, revealed the deficiency of faith in my own heart, and that I was saying that I believed in these things and walking in a different way. And God, in his care and his love and his grace and his mercy for me, that's the part of sanctification. He's stripping those things away to say, this is who you are really. Trust me. I am good. And as I continue, I guess it would be nice to be able to stand up here on the backside of that to say, and this is how God has been faithful to me. But I'm just beginning this process, and I have no idea how God's going to be faithful to me. But my desire is to hold on to his promises, the promises of his word. And I want to jump back kind of into, Exodus 3 and 4, where in the Old Testament, God is calling Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And I want to just kind of maybe summarize this, because it's a fairly lengthy dialogue between the two. But in Exodus 3, God says, "And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Moses continues on and says, "Well, who am I to say who sent me?" And God answers. He continues to answer. He continues to give him and say, "This is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to be with you." Moses continues to fight God and says, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say that the Lord did not appear to you." And again, God continues to lay out his plan for Moses. And ultimately, Moses says, "But I am slow of speech and of tongue." And God responds to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Is this not incredible? What God is promising to Moses, and yet Moses is forgetting who God is. He's forgetting what God brings. He's forgetting that God has gone before and will go with him. And ultimately, Moses comes and says, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Can you relate? Has God called you to do something where you look at your own resources or your own ability to accomplish it and say, "No way, nope, not doing that"? Have we forgotten who our God is? Are we walking in unbelief of the promises that he's made to us? Have we forgotten that God has spoken the heavens and the earth into existence from nothing? He sustains it by the power of his word. Have we forgotten the command to be strong and courageous, not to be frightened or dismayed, because God is with us wherever we go? Joshua 1:9. Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. What a powerful psalm, and what a powerful reminder of what our God is for us, what he does. He knows even before a word is on our tongue. He hems us in behind and before. He goes before us. He isn't a God who just says, go do this, let me give you a bunch of stuff. He's a God who goes before, hems us in behind and before. Have we forgotten that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. Have we forgotten the immeasurable greatness of the power that's at work in us? The same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that he works in us day to day, to day to day, to reveal sin, to give grace, to mold and shape us like Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:19 to 20. The scripture that I read this morning as we began our time in song, Lamentations 3:22 to 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What a promise. What a promise in the context of Lamentations. The fact that Israel was absolutely disobedient to God and they were experiencing God's judgment in wrath. Yet God is still faithful. It's not dependent upon our faithfulness. What we do, it's about God, and it's about his work. It's about his promises. And finally, the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:20, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Those are just a small smattering of promises of God and his faithfulness to his people. But significant nonetheless. Again, I wish I could tell you that I'm on the backside of this journey and I could lay out all kind of lists of God's faithfulness, but I know he will be faithful, and I want to be walking in belief and not unbelief. I know it's not going to be easy. Christ calls us to take up our cross and follow him. He doesn't call us to a life of ease and comfort and predictability. He calls us to a life of suffering and affliction for his name's sake. But he's good. In 2 Corinthians, the letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, at the beginning of the letter, he writes about how their suffering that they're experiencing is so significant that they despaired of life. But yet, three chapters later, he writes this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Church, we need to have an eternal perspective. In the midst of life, in the overwhelmingness of what's happening here and now, what we see and what we understand, God is calling us to look to the things that are unseen. Faith is the conviction of things unseen. It wouldn't be faith if God laid out the plan for you. You wouldn't have to trust God if he laid it out for you. But he's faithful and true. Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. This morning, church, I guess I come before you to challenge you to think about where are you before the Lord? The reality that you cannot serve God and money, you cannot serve at the altar of human resources and our abilities to accomplish what we think we should have. Challenging you to think about the reality of what you say is true and how you live your life. May God use that to bring conviction and challenge to your heart. May he come and remind you of his promises to you as children of God. The reality that he's faithful, that it's his work that he began in Jesus Christ and he will carry it on to completion. Maybe you are not in the same place that I am and facing a fairly significant transition in your life. But God is calling you to something. And how are you going to respond? Are you going to look to your own resources and your own abilities? Are you going to entrust yourself to his faithfulness, his steadfast love, and his mercies that never end? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's easy to say. It's very hard to do. But God is faithful, and he's good, and he loves his people. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths of your word. I thank you for your spirit. God, may you do your work in your heart, in the hearts and lives of your people this morning. God, may you continue our sanctification. May you continue our growth in Jesus Christ. God, recognizing and knowing that it is a painful process. The heart is deceitful above all things. And God, having you root that out is painful, but good. Lord, we need it. We need you to come do your work. We look forward to what you have for us. We look forward to your continued work in our hearts and lives. God, may your name be glorified in us and through us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for your